to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Moderator ID accepted. All guests are currently unmuted. To mute all guests, press pound pound. For help with host options, press star 0. You will now be connected with the conference.
New number from the old number from back in July. You know, I missed the place where it appears.
All right, my wife tells me I'm mistaken. So.
I can only see the three instances of it. So I'm using that same line. I've got the moderator code, which is different, but it should be the same form.
Right.
So when you're dialing with the telephone, you use the same conference ID when possible.
Right, right. Maybe I'm mistaken, but I use the same one I was able to get in.
Well, what you might have done is did you check the join conference and not join dot conference, because that was the other change that happened coincidentally at the same time, was that join conference changed its name to join dot conference.
Right. No, I knew about that. Right. Because
Mystery. Probably Skype misbehaving or the conference bridge misbehaving. They do that sometimes.
Okay, sorry about the confusion.
That's right. These things happen. So I think with these conference bridges all running in the cloud, I'm sure once in a while you just hit a bad sector or cluster or whatever they are.
Yeah. Okay.
So we'll give it a couple of minutes. I'll see
all right. So, the other thing that's odd. When I tried connecting with Skype, it wanted more than 6 digits.
Oh.
And the Skype numbers that I normally have 9 digits, I believe.
If you're phoning with Skype, you need a valid phone number for the country code you've got. But if you're using Join Conference, you don't need any digits at all. You just click Join Conference, and then when it asks you to type in the code, that's when you type in the 6-figure code.
Right. No, I was entering it into Skype.
Ah, that won't have worked.
Right. And there are still...
Okay, mystery solved.
Yeah, there are still spaces left after the...
Skype won't let your dial button go green until you've got the right number of digits for the country code you're in, which in America is 7+3, isn't it? 10. Okay, so I see Ken on the chat room, but are you there on the phone yet, Ken?
Oh, yeah, I'm on the phone, and I'm recording.
Hey, Ken, how are you?
I'm good.
Oh, excellent. Great. Well, I'll be back to all our criticisms of Skype. It turned out to have been something else. And Mike, are you joining us on the chat room?
Maybe.
Ah.
I may be phone away today.
Right, okay, no problem. So we have apologies from Leo, I believe, and apologies from Ellie. Have I forgotten any other apologies? Don't remember anybody else. Let me just check. No, just those two. So, it could be a very simple meeting then. Ellie has just provided the notes from the previous meeting, and he still isn't able to log in. So I think he had the same problem that I and a few others had, that we had to log in without a password on the old system, and that wasn't allowable on the new system, and somebody somewhere needs to do something to get him re-registered on the new system. So I'll I haven't yet, but yeah. I should upload the minutes to the page.
Now, oh, I already uploaded the minutes.
Oh, you did? Ah, good, because that answers my next question, which is somebody's been busy since last night when I finally got round to doing anything, which is that, so for you, Ken, that you've put the nice little table on the conference call number 13 with the details nicely tabulated, and you've updated the landing page to have not just the current or next meeting as we were originally going to do, but the whole list of meetings there, so that... And that's gone to the query you said before. You're going to run some kind of query. Is that what we're looking at here?
Yeah, it's all done with queries.
Yeah. So that means I don't need to go on next month and put when December's meeting is. It'll just pick it up as soon as we create the page for it or something.
That's right. It'll just get picked up.
Cool.
Also, at the bottom of each meeting page, it shows the previous meetings.
Yes, so you replace that with a query as well, so it's got the results and everything.
Right, that's the same query on every page.
Ah,
it's a little tricky to get that to work, because I had to have a query within a query. But
right. So when I create the page for December, I won't touch anything that looks like a query.
Yeah, that should all work. I also arranged to have a little box at the top right.
Yeah, I saw that. That's great. It's quite hard to visually parse those details.
Yeah, it's all in it's all annotated semantically now. So
we're eating our own dog food.
So you can see
that. I
need
to get to the bottom of what are the semantics of convener, but.
Convener? Yeah. Well, the only semantics right now is that it's a. It's of type page.
Ah.
So it gives you a link there to the to your page.
Ah, so it does. Yes, lovely.
If you look at duration and you put your cursor over it.
Good heavens. 5,400 seconds.
Right.
Reaching those seconds up.
It does this conversion for you. I'm not sure what use that could possibly be, but it does that automatically.
Right.
I wish it would do the same for the dates. It's kind of limited in its date capability. Like it won't.
Yeah, mouse hover on the dates and times would be pretty neat, because you could hover it over 10 EST and it would hover up and show you all the different time zones that there were or something.
Yeah, unfortunately they don't have that. And I'm looking into how one could do that. There are sites that will do it. But at the moment, I don't have it linked up to that. Eventually, hopefully, we will have that.
No, I think what we've got is more than enough. I was just brainstorming there, but no, that would be overkill anyway.
Well, it is a pain to have to constantly figure out whether it's daylight standard time and all these little things.
That's normal now. Yeah, and I noticed that in the summer, we had times in GMT, which was GMT. We didn't have London time, so now it's winter. GMT is London time. Maybe next summer we'll think about whether to introduce London time as well, but we managed without it.
Yeah, so that's...
But the thing that Microsoft doesn't understand is the difference between the time in a time zone versus the time in a given city, whatever time they happen to be on in that city on that day. Well, Outlook insists on calling British Summertime GMT, which confuses everyone. It's not GMT. GMT doesn't mean the time in London. It means GMT.
Right. Yeah,
that's
well, it's weird. There's there's a state, Arizona, that doesn't follow daylight savings time.
Yeah, and don't they have some weird thing that some counties do? Well, I'm told actually it's more likely the Indian reservations or something.
Yeah, there's
like word for them. Do or don't do daylight savings, or do or don't do the same time zone, or what? I don't know.
Yeah, there's an Indian reservation that differs from Arizona in Arizona. But then within within that Indian reservation, there's a section that follows Arizona. So it's nested. It's nested a number of levels deep.
Ah, I'd hate to unpick the semantics of that. It's really weird. You look at global time zone, and China has like the whole of China at one time, and in America there's Arizona, kind of with this little wiggly line in the middle of the state. And you think, who does Arizona think they are compared to China? You know?
Yeah, it's really weird.
Democracy in action.
Right. Anyway, the concerning other updates, I still have to go through all of the emails for the group and actually put those into the meeting pages. If you look at the earlier meeting pages, you'll see they're kind of empty right now.
Right. Let me just make some. I'll do the minuting today, I think. WikiLeaks updated with the script. And so names, what needs to be done with names?
If you go to the landing page, you'll see all the meetings. And if you look at most of the meetings, earlier meetings, it doesn't say what happened.
Oh, right. Now, is that the meetings from before we moved on to the current wiki, because PDM was noting that we hadn't yet migrated everything from the old wiki for the history of previous meetings.
Right. That was before the new wiki was in place. And what were we using for the meeting pages back then? I'm not even sure.
The old Sim3 Purple Media, the wiki that wasn't PMSW, but was just the regular wiki with the purple numbers and stuff.
All right, I'll have to track all of that down and transfer it over. So it's
right. I was wondering who has access to both systems. Is that you as well?
I have access to it. I can track that down. It's just going to take some work, because that particular wiki is now just read-only.
Right. Oh, so does that mean you can't open the edit window and get the wiki markup? You have to screen scrape it or something?
Yeah, it's... although I have access to the database, so I can probably pull it out of the database directly.
Hmm.
So that shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, it might be less work than reintroducing the markup. Yeah.
Anyway, and then cool. I'm working on a registration system so we can take care of the getting people their accounts.
Oh, great. So at the moment they have to mail what happens? They mail that email address and that goes to myself, Ellie, and Frank on.
Right.
Frank,
that
Frank Lober. And then Frank has to do something manual, doesn't he?
Well, right. They still do it that we're still do it that way. I mean, only those who are approved can get membership. But there'll be a web service kind of page you can open, put in the email address, and then it'll take it from there.
Oh, and then it goes to the approval process from there. So that
we have to get information from the from them about their account, like, you know, what they want for their wiki name, a little description about themselves, their password. So I have a little page for them to open, and they put all that information in and hit submit, and hopefully everything will go smoothly and they'll have an account.
They'll get a password as well.
It'll have everything, including their their individual personal page.
Oh, I see. Yes, of course. Yeah. Which they can edit. So that gives them full access to the wiki. It's not just the email.
Right, they'll have full access to the wiki. They can edit their personal page, and they can edit any meeting page.
So, actually, then, since Ellie is still struggling because his old login from the old system didn't carry across the new one, I wonder whether to just start him again using that when you've done it or something. That'd be a nice test.
Let me see if I can get that in right now. Special pages. Create account.
Cool.
How many do we have here? Wow. We do have a lot of accounts.
Ah. Interesting. Where are they all? It's my fault for always leaving the notice for the last minute. I need to get a better way of diarizing the action sooner or something, because I'm always up against the wire on about three things at once, and then it gets done when it's up against its own wire. So that's not good.
So who's missing? Let's see.
Oh, now, of course, his name might also have an unusual format when trying to interpret into the namespace format.
Do you remember? His wiki name?
No, but so his name is this. So wiki name could be one of two or three things.
Oh, he exists in the... Yeah, I just looked. He is there.
Ah, so
Page does not exist. Oh.
Yeah, so probably he was in the same position I was in where... I had a blank password on the old system, and the new system didn't allow that. And Peter emailed me while he was still working on that, and so he and I dealt with it bilaterally. So that's probably what happened to him.
Yeah, all of these names were carried over, but apparently not accounts.
Right, it's probably his password then.
That's what I have to fix now. I'll work on that.
Excellent. Okay, so in terms of housekeeping, that's all the upcoming stuff. We're not for a minute that we've so that the basic stuff we were waiting on is all done. So with one exception. So the IOA SIGS page link, basically the button works, the link to the SWIO page works, but, and I'll check again in case this has been fixed, on the IAOA homepage itself, there's still a textual listing of the SIGs on the SIG page, and as Nightjong pointed out, that still lists the other SIGs. Let me see if that's still the case. It was yesterday. So it's got ontologies and conceptual modeling, geospatial ontologies and standards, and design semantics. So that list at the bottom of the page still isn't. I noticed that one of the things on the list isn't in the buttons anymore. I wonder if it's an active thing. That's not in the citizen card. Oops. Do you have an echo? Hi, who just joined? Right. And so those links work. The button's there. The button goes to a page on the IAOI site about the FWAO SIG, and that has a nice big link to our dedicated SIG website. So those are all the links that we needed. I see that the What's New on the SIG website now includes today's meeting. That was very quick. And so we can link on from there into the wiki. Now, while we were fiddling about with how to present some of the content, somebody came up with a blog, and at one point we were trying to use that to be one of the landing pages, and that didn't really quite work. However, now that everything else works, we can think about what to do with that blog, because we could do it on blogger.com. We could do some useful things with it. So, any thoughts?
I would think it would be useful. Let's see. But nothing on it right now?
Nothing at all.
Oh.
People put comments there, ideas, things like that.
Yes. We could do that one of two ways. We could post a very short blog entry that opens the topic and use the blog commenting facility to create conversations.
Mm.
Or we could have longer guest posts that would themselves create a whole conversation.
Yeah, and or expand on a topic,
Yeah, and in fact, further on in the agenda, I added a new thing of my own, which might contribute to this idea as well. So we could pick that up.
Yeah, and on my blog, I've started to actually put together thoughts on how to develop an ontology with the look for, starting from competency questions.
Oh.
Is that blog connected to the mailing list at all? So.
That's the point. Cause
yeah, that would be a good idea, that when there was a post, you could get notified.
Yeah, because otherwise, there may be a bunch of blogs, and you would just never think to look there. I'm sure that people look at a lot of blogs. This might be a way of getting people's attention to the blog.
Yes.
So
for instance, do we link to it from the wiki? Do we link to it from the website? From both? We publicize it on the mail list when a new entry, well, if it's linked, it'll publicize itself, won't it, with a notice?
Yeah.
Yes. Whoops. Somehow that bounced. Yeah, good. So I think that's a really useful facility. So Andrea, maybe your thing about how to create on solid, that's already on your blog site, right? So is there a way we can link to that or do a blog based on that that would start some conversation in the SWAO blog or something?
Yeah, we could do that because the whole idea behind that was just to kind of start to get people to think about how to do ontologies, the applied approach, because most of the books are all about OWL or reasoning or something else and not really about how to do an ontology.
Perfect. Yeah, and well, something I was thinking of, I put a new thing in the agenda a little bit further on, and maybe we could even jump to that. Is it occurred to me we've got all this stuff we're working on about training material and introductions, gentle introductions to ontologies and what's an ontology and so on. And right in the middle of that, it occurs to me, I still keep having conversations with different people who have different ideas of what an ontology is, all of whom, you know, well-known, well-regarded people in the industry who know what they're talking about. So there are places where there isn't a consensus and places where there is. And I think while thinking about how to, you know, do introductory stuff and training and teaching, it might be useful, at least for ourselves, to know what are the things that everybody knows uncontroversially are the case about ontologies and what are not. And I mean, some of the notes I've been putting together recently that start to distinguish between an ontology that's intended as a common language for a business or an industry or a standard versus a standalone reasoning-based application ontology, you know, how the different approaches to meaning itself are applied to those. Now, my ideas themselves are probably controversial too, so but we may have the opportunity to frame, you know, here's the applied ontology approach, like you're saying, Andrea, and here's what you have in a reasoning application, and here's the things that apply to both, and here's the things that don't. There's things like, you know, some of the best practice, like when you're doing an ontology for an application, you want to make your properties as general as possible by not committing to specific domains and ranges, because you might want to reuse that property with the same intended meaning but with different domains and ranges. But that then doesn't give that property any semantics, but it might be exactly what you need to do for an application. Some people think it isn't. Some people clearly think it is. At the same time, it might not be what you want for a common language type of ontology, because there is no semantics to a property that has no domain and range. But what there is the semantics of the deductive closure of that whole ontology when you've got restrictions and so on that make reference to that property. So I think there's areas like that where there's some things that are best practice for this but not for that, and vice versa, and some things where, you know, maybe all except one person says, oh no, you must have domains and ranges, and one person says, oh no, you mustn't, or vice versa. Am I being a bit ambitious here and thinking that something we should think of mapping out is at least identifying which of the things that there is still ongoing discussion and conversations about, and which are the things that either everybody agrees or everybody agrees in a specific context, like applied ontology, that this is how you should approach it, so that we know, you know, when we're teaching the controversy, as it were, and when we're teaching stuff that everybody long ago accepted as being the best thing to do. That makes
sense. Know, it's kind of like database design. You can put down some best practices and stuff like that, and then explain why and where you use them. But I don't think there's any "this is how you do an ontology" kind of answer.
Yeah.
You really think there's such standards? You really think there are standards like that in databases?
I said just like in databases, you can write down some best practices, but there's no one way to do a database.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of disagreement about best practices in databases too.
Yeah. So what I'm thinking of is that part of the knowledge that we're sort of collecting and curating, as it were, is the meta knowledge of, you know, what is widely accepted and what is open to discussion. And if you're approaching such and such a thing, here are the five different schools of thought you need to pick between, or something. You know, do you need an upper ontology or not? Do you use continuum versus occurrent things or not? You know, that's maybe going into too much detail, but I think all the time we're talking about collecting together of teaching and training materials, it's worth knowing when there are multiple perspectives that need to be collected for something and when there isn't.
Well, you can certainly generate good debate.
Yeah. And that's why I'm thinking that the blog will come in, that if there are things, so if I'm having a conversation with somebody, I won't name names, but you know, on the FIBO project, somebody's doing some new stuff, and I have long conversations with her about why this thing is done this way and not that way, and neither of us is right or wrong, but then you bring a third person in, they go, well, of course you must do this, you know. So it's worth knowing where the debates are, and having them is a good way of doing that.
Well, usually a good blog post is one that people are interested in, and it's usually somebody's opinion.
Yeah.
By the way, I went to the blog, but I can only read it. I can't write to it.
Oh, okay. So let's have a look at blog access then. At the moment, I think it's just three of us that have login. So I think for us to have lively debates, we want to set it that everybody that has login access to the wiki, for example, as part of what we just talked about, should also be given an account on the blog page. Is that, anybody agree with that?
Either that or a blog post goes to, you know, one of you guys, and then you post it. You either need to open it up, or you need to access the gate. And there are pros and cons to both of those.
Main con being that nobody gets around to it until the evening before the next meeting.
Kind of, yeah. But the pro is that you have more control over what's up there.
Right, because comments are in any case open to everybody.
Right.
I quite like the idea of throwing it open. Is that going to become too anarchic at any point? I mean, given that we're only throwing it over to people who've already signed up for membership of the SIG and been given a login on the wiki where they can edit any wiki page they like, my instinct is that if somebody's got that far, we should give them full access to the blog, and then people can come up with an idea, or they're preparing for a talk and they want to, you know, open up some idea for discussion, and they can just get on and do it.
Yeah, the good thing about that is that if there's something that's like inappropriate or something, you can always delete it.
Of course,
As the administrator, you can delete the blog entry.
Yeah.
So, question about access to the blog, sorry, I've been trying to do something else at the same time.
Right.
If the goal of the blog is to facilitate the dissemination of knowledge about how to create ontologies, shouldn't it be open to almost anyone under the sun?
Ah.
Because I would hope they would like to post questions too, rather than just, you know, espouse whatever.
So even open it, you mean right access for creating blog entries be open even to non-members of the SIG?
Well, possibly. I understand that there's a downside to that, which is a lot of noise that can come across. But again, if the goal of this SIG is to promulgate best practices, then you want to encourage everyone to at least listen or ask questions, preferably ask questions.
Right.
You know, most blogs are sort of one-way transmission capability, have transmission capabilities. People just spout out all sorts of things, and other people complain about what they spouted out. And I would prefer to, if we could move towards some sort of a conversational type of situation, which might be a challenge.
Well, that's a really good idea, because there's still the administrative ability to nip things in the bud if they go off piece, a bit like we have in Ontolog itself, which we rarely had to use. So make it more open than just SIG members. Anybody can write a guest post without having to be invited or asked. They can just come along with an idea and stick it there, and we just need a little page somewhere telling people this is the case.
Yeah,
make the blog more than what a blog normally is.
Mm. Of course, there is a challenge that if it degenerates so badly, you have to turn it off. One of the repercussions of that. At this point, I try to be positive about it and say everyone's going to be very helpful, right?
Yeah, well, the only downside is if you get, you know, some of these spammers that want to tell you how much money they made doing whatever the heck it is they do, like you get sometimes even on newspaper blogs, and those have to be stamped on very firmly. If one of those gets a sense that they have some ability to post to something like this, but then since most blogs don't have that, they wouldn't even be looking, so I don't think that would even necessarily happen. It'd be more likely to happen in the comments, so it's going to happen anyway, than in the posting of new blogs. And so the idea of making a blog completely multi-directional, anybody can write a new blog entry, quite an innovation, and I think it could be a good one. What does anybody else think?
And of course, I assume there's a way to block IP addresses or email addresses or whatever identifiers you use. I don't know how these things are actually run in practice. But certainly, you can go to a switch and your router and tell it to block IP addresses manually.
Yes, so it's a case of whether the blog facility has that. It's at blogger.com, so we could find out. Yeah. So, what does anybody else think? Should we give that a go? Make it open to the wide world?
Sounds good.
Who is the administrator? Who is or would be the administrator for the blog? Because they're the ones who are going to get stuck with whatever decision is
made. I'm one of them. I think it's myself, Ellie, and Frank, I think. Is there anybody else? I can't remember.
And you're going to vote their proxies, Mike?
Yes. Yes. And we're all three happy with that idea. And yes, if it gets out of hand, we can always, you know, shut the door again without actually changing anything else, I would think.
Yeah.
Great.
So, Mike, I just looked at blogspot.com because that's where I have it. For basic settings, you can set who the blog authors are, and it just says add authors. Let me see if it lets me add public. Because for blog readers, it's public. And invite authors, choose from contacts. So at least for Blogspot, it just says that you have to invite authors.
Ah, right. That's a pity. So we need to let me have a look at find it. I was on there recently, so it might be on my recent thingies. There it is, Blogger. So I've got a dashboard. I've got two blogs, one that I've had for years that I've done very little with, and this one with no posts. We've enabled automatic spam detection for comments. You should occasionally check the comments in your spam box. Okay. In terms of admin, love and help, user settings. Do I have an admin for the... That's my own admin as a... I have to go to the blog itself and see if... I've got a feeling there are some buttons. Design. I have the design button. That's an admin button.
We could always do a blog entry that... What are your questions? Put in your questions as comments.
That's a good alternative. Yeah, it may be that the way that these blog sites are set up is not to allow everyone to create the unregistered or unwashed public.
Well, yeah, usually your blog has, you know, it's your commodity, it's your intellectual property, it's your identity.
That's right.
So I would guess there isn't a lot of calls for open posting.
Yeah, so we're trying to create a new model that doesn't exist. It was a nice idea, but certainly a blog entry which asks for questions or asks for comments or opinions so that then anybody can comment. And that spam box might even have the ability to filter out any sort of, you know, salesy spam stuff anyway. Yeah. So I'll look into what can be done on this blog. And maybe we can think of a initial entry to put in of exactly that nature, one that's asking for questions, just to set the tone of how we want to do this. And we'll occasionally have a more content-like blog to put in an opinion, maybe even a controversial opinion. Start with one that asks questions, maybe even very high level. This is our first one, you know. What are the things that everybody thinks are obvious but they're not? Or what are the things you most hate seeing in somebody else's ontology or something like that?
Yeah, but I do think we should add everybody who has access to the wiki as able to post entries, you know?
As a minimum, yes. Good action. And yeah, it may be that each of them, if they don't already have it, would need to have an account with Blogger. I guess that's the thing. You can only add somebody if they already have. In the same way, you can only add somebody to the Gmail thing if they have a Gmail address, for example. So they may need to put a little message out saying, you know, tell us your Blogger ID. If you don't have one, please do one and then send it to us. And that way, we're going to add you all.
So, are we switching over to Blogger, or is it just staying Blogspot for now?
Oh, am I getting the two mixed up? So, you're on Blogspot. No, the one where our current blog is on blogger.com.
Well, the link I went to was on Blogspot.
I they're the same thing then. It's got a funny sort of V-shaped icon. I think is it in the Google stable, I think.
It is, yeah. Blogspot's in the Google stable. I didn't know if Blogger might be their dashboard way to get into it. I didn't know if they were one and the same or you were thinking about something different, because I was just looking at the URL, you know.
Let's have a look. Blogspot. Blogspot, including results from Blogger. Blog instructions, blogspot.com. I'm curious, are they the same thing or not? They have the same icon. Oh no, that's my Google search. Oh no, that's the same thing then. Blog instructions, that's useful.
It looks like it's the same thing because my blog comes up on this.
Right, so it says, I'll show you what it says. So it must be the same thing. And they have the same icon. Yeah, they just must have renamed it and kept the old name. Powered by Blogger. Very good. So in our instructions for people, they might not think they have an account with Blogger because they have an account with Blogspot, but our instructions must include that same discovery. So, for example, if you've got an account with WordPress, that's no good. And they've really evolved to the same account settings, whether the blog that you're editing is identified as Blogspot or Blogger. Good. Yes, because it recognises me, it sees me as signed in already, and I'm on the Blogspot URI. So, let me just pop that down, in fact. So we can't automatically add people from their wiki login to Blogger. We have to get them to tell us what their Blogger or Blogspot account is and then add that account. So call that as an action. And everyone who has access to the wiki, is that the same as everybody who is on the mail list? Have those been kept in sync in some way?
Yeah, we'll try to do that. I'll check with Peter to make sure that we keep those two in sync.
The leads were approving membership, right? I mean, when you put in a membership thing, you guys were tracking membership. So there should be a way to get that list and you know who people are. And then when they get added, we can just add them to the blog, too.
Yeah, good idea. So when we're getting people's details, Ken, one more detail to get from people is their Blogger ID, so that's automatically part of the details. Is that doable?
How do you get the Blogger ID?
So when you're getting
you don't have. You just need their email address, and then they have to register if they want to post, right? All you really need is to register that you're an author, and you need an email account. I don't think it has to be a Gmail account.
Oh.
Right. We do have, we'll have email addresses. I just have to find the procedure for doing that.
I see an idea for the Blogger account. It's funny, I don't know, with a lot of the Google features, it used to be that...
No, it doesn't. It says sign up in the corresponding blank, enter a username and password for yourself and confirm password. Enter your first and last name and your email address. So we could just tell everybody we're going to make them an account that's their email address or something, you know?
They're
all careful about that.
Then people end up with two accounts on Blogger if they've already got one.
Yeah. You're right.
Mm. it sounds more sensible to get them to say what their login ID is and then add them and say, if you don't have one, register and we'll add you. So we've got to put an email out, and we should put a page somewhere, I guess on the FWAO page, pointing to the blog and saying to people, you know, this is how to get involved and so on. And we should prime the pump by having something on there before we do that. So this will be our initial question to start a conversation type of thing. There's the other page, and we could put it on the events page or what page. Let's have a look. What would be a good page? Okay, I don't have it open.
What about on our landing page? You know, to put the question there and then point to the blog right on the landing page.
Mm-hmm. Great idea. That's the SWAO website landing page. Not the wiki landing page, or both?
Well, I would actually put it in both, because you kind of want to say, hey, we're about applied ontologies, so if you are creating ontologies and have questions, you know, this is the place to go, and you know, please post comments here, and we'll answer them. Maybe even go farther. You know, some of the questions might generate ideas for articles or things like that.
Yeah. I think this is good, because I think these meetings have obviously turned into kind of admin meetings, which have been very productive and very necessary while we've been going through all the logistical stuff. But where is the conversation? And if we just drive it to the blog right away, that takes care of that. And we can carry on using these meetings for admin, which tends to be, you know, it's once a month, we all panic, oh, no, there's a meeting, quick, I better go, better get the notice out. And having something asynchronous, i.e. the blog, means that any of us, no matter how busy we are, we'll have times when we can just jump in and, you know, fire off a salvo of thoughts or whatever. Rather than using the email list, as well as using the email list for that, sort of drive it both ways and see where the energy ends up. And yeah, once in a while we could dive in, or maybe on these calls we can say, hey, you know, here's some ideas that are coming into focus that might be something we can put on a, like a sort of a how-to wiki, or start to drive some of the ideas into, you know, introduction to ontologies and, you know, the kind of the book and the articles and some of the other stuff that we talked about. You know, we can start to generate content for that. So a bit like another group I'm involved with, the Open Financial Data Group, where, you know, we have these conversations, and once in a while we think, hey, there's a white paper in this, and then we spend a month or so working on that and put a paper out. Good. And I think, in a sense, that really answers the whole thing about, you know, where is or isn't there consensus? We start to see it. It's not contentious, but we're getting a nice bird's eye view of what are all the things that people are still figuring out, and what are the things that are figured out enough to go into a sort of the Flag Ontology 101, and yeah, I think that answers everything. Good. So, all we need in the next 5 minutes, or we need to delegate someone, might end up being me, is the first posting, what sort of thing we can put there to generate stuff, and then the words to go on the landing page and the email and so on to drive people there once it's posted. So what sort of thing could be our first question generating blog post?
Is there a particular direction you'd like to have things go in the first place? Do some reverse engineering here.
Good. Very good question.
One stupid one might be just simple, what do you think an ontology is, or how do you think ontology should be used, or how do you use ontologies, or how do you abuse ontologies, or...
Yeah.
Well, what's your philosophical stance on duality? I don't know.
Yeah. What's your philosophical stance on putting different philosophical stances into an ontology? Because I know some of the more pragmatic, sort of IT-focused people are a bit hostile to any other ontology, whereas to other people, particularly in the applied ontology space, it's like, well, yeah, of course you have to have enough ontology. Why do you ask? You know? It could be. I mean, I could certainly frame a couple of things that describe the space between my kind of day-to-day understanding of ontology and the people I've been mixing with in the IAOA and so on, versus the fights I keep having with folks in the object management group. No shortage of material there. But that's just me.
Or how about, why don't you use an upper ontology to help? Or do you think an upper ontology acts as a pattern? Or something like that, I don't know.
But I thought the goal of this first question was to get people's questions, not give them a question.
Ah, okay, good.
Better yet.
Good, yes.
So the question is, do you have any questions?
That's what I thought. That's what I thought we were talking about.
Okay, good. So we just write something that basically sort of says what we were saying to each other just now. What are the questions?
Yeah, because I just put that comment on the chat. If we do something like, what do you think an ontology is? Right away you get into a philosophical debate, which may be good, but it's more philosophical than applied, which is bad. And then it kind of sets the tone for people's questions, which are these, no real answer questions.
Right.
So that's a good point, Andre. So the question is, what questions do you have? Or should be more specific and say, what problems are you having? Or something like that.
I think we should say both. What questions do you have? What problems do you have?
Ask the experts.
Ask people who think they're the experts.
Really. By the way, you're one of the experts yourself, so you're asking each other. Good. Okay. Who wants to take a first cut at that?
I'll do it, and I'll send it to the mail list.
Fantastic. And that gives the mail list visibility that this is what's happening. And then we can also explain into the mail list what people's involvement will be. I can do something on that.
Hi.
Okay. I think that covers it. Any other business, last minute thoughts, things that we missed that you wish we talked about? I feel like we're actually getting on with something here, so I think this was our next step.
Does that mean we should stop before you mess it up?
I think so. We're at the top of our hour, so I'm inclined to...
Actually, the meeting is, it's a 1.5 hour meeting.
Oh, so it is. Oh, I'm sorry. I keep forgetting that. Okay, great. Good.
Well, yeah, and I wanted to hear about from the, if we have any news from the Education Committee.
Right. Okay, good. So, anything else on that topic which is, I think, covered, or then we go back to the order of things in the agenda, which was the training material and stuff, and of course the Ontology Summit as well. Good. Oh, I'm glad you reminded me of that.
Hi, Mike. Oh, hey. Hi. Mike, this is Fabian. I think we have a clash of meetings here.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. This is Michael Gruninger here. It looks like this is the SIG, this SAW, Semantic Web Applied Ontology SIG. Okay.
Yeah, and we have an...
meeting here. Yeah, sorry. No, I screwed up.
Okay.
I screwed up. Actually, the SIG has precedence here, though. Sorry.
Okay, well, I was on the verge of thinking that we only had an hour, and then everybody reminded me that we're actually booked for an hour and a half, which I'd completely forgotten. So it sounds like we do want to carry on for the hour, for the rest of our half hour, by the sounds of it.
So then I'd suggest that Ontario moves to a Skype meeting. So you post your Skype names, and I like join call.
Okay. Sorry about that, Mike. Sorry for the interruption.
No worries. No. Good to hear from you. Okay. So the next item on the agenda was continue our discussion on creating online training material, update on actions from last time, which is what feedback do we get from the Education Committee? We'll include some of the people who recently just went by. Do we have any updates from the Education Committee? Is everybody else still there, or did the meeting crash?
No, I don't believe there was a response to your question.
Oh, good. Just checking, because it was very quiet. I thought we might have got run over on the superhighway for a moment there. So, where were we with that? I remember asking about this in Rio, but I can't remember. I think we were still waiting to hear at that point. We've met since then. Who were they going to get back to? I've not seen anything.
What was it, Leo?
Ah, yes. No, Leo would know. Okay, and he sent his apologies for this meeting. So we can drop him an email and find out. Put an EC. I was writing EC last time and realised that it stood for Executive Committee as well as Education Committee. So, okay, should I take that action?
see what the education committee's doing or not doing?
Yeah, so email Leo and find out whether he's heard back from them.
Okay.
Cool. And the other thing that's been on our agenda since forever has been this gentle introduction to ontologies that somebody had that we might have been wanting to look at. I can't remember who that was either.
Let me look at my email, see if I can find it. Yep, Mark Fox.
Ah, thank you.
Yeah, I never heard anything either.
Does anybody have his contact?
I do.
Ah. Would you like to drop him a line?
I can take the action to reach out to him and say, hey, did you ever get the outline together?
Great, thank you.
The last time I pinged him was May 29th, and he never answered.
Right, okay, so time for follow-up. Okay, so what else on... So the training material conversation, those are the two main actions that we've been carrying forward. And then we talked about doing a white paper for a business audience. There was a very interesting discussion about doing a book. And some of that fed into the idea of one of the possibilities for this is Ontology Summit being to assemble a set of papers and turn it into a book as well, which we therefore proposed. Now, I attended part of that last meeting and had to drop off for another call, and when I dropped back on, there were three proposals on the table, of which this was only one. So the follow-up call for that is this Thursday. So we may or may not get...
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I thought it was late until December.
Is it? No, there was something else that was, I think, a trustees meeting that was... suggested for Thursday until Peter pointed out that we already had this Ontology Summit follow-up for Thursday. Did I miss a part of that exchange? I thought it was that which had been moved to December. Well, I haven't got anything in my diary, so I might be wrong. That has happened.
I hadn't seen anything come by, and I thought we were waiting until December to make the final decision.
Ah. Right, okay.
Did I miss it, though? Which is a possibility. Can anyone
I didn't see anything either.
So maybe it will be to December.
So maybe in your letter to Leo, Mike, you can ask him about when the next summit decision is going to be made.
Yeah.
Well, it seems to me that... each of those proposals needs to be fleshed out a bit. And I was going to help, but I haven't seen anything about the about that one proposal, you know, for for education. So who's involved in that? I mean, I said I'd help, but I didn't say I'd take the lead.
No, I missed the actual part of that call. We brought one proposal to the table, so it's in our interest to build out and flesh out that proposal. I'm not sure where the other two proposals came from. I think one was to do with big data and one was to do with the Internet of Things.
There were three rather diverse proposals. I suggested that education could be a component of any of them.
Yeah, good.
So then I didn't think that they were actually completely incompatible.
Ah, so we could end up with a result that sort of focuses on, say, the Internet of Things but also, yeah, because you can look at it two ways. These are two big new things that really require a lot of semantics and potentially bring with them requirements of different treatments of semantics, you know, more conceptual rather than reasoning stuff possibly, or other emphases that might be needed. So one way of looking at it would be, you can't do a whole book and training about everything to do with semantics without first having figured out the semantics of big data and the Internet of Things. On the other hand, that could never happen. And so the flip side of that is, let's get the core body of knowledge together, which can then be applied and adapted as needed to big data and to the Internet of Things. Is that reasonable?
That's the idea, I guess. Yeah, we can't do everything.
So, exactly. So then it does make sense to have at least a track within that is relating the body of knowledge that we already have, and working out how to apply it with one or other of these exciting new things. And the Internet of Things throws wide open a whole lot of new opportunities for using semantics, but the Internet of Things people really haven't yet figured out what to do with that. They just know that they need to. Good. Oh, okay. Good. So, it sounds like we know what we want and where we are, and whether or not this thing is on Thursday or some other time, we'll be ready with our thoughts. Anything we need to do between now and then as a group? Maybe open up a discussion on the mail list or something? So, the book thing itself is still very much on our agenda to keep thinking about what it takes to put all that together. Any immediate actions on that we can start to think about?
I think we kind of need to decide on a topic and get an outline, decide on the focus of the group, even if it's just to collect a book, even if it's just a collection of papers.
Yeah. So my assumption is that where there are very focused books on semantic web and reasoning and so on, and a very good body of knowledge on applied ontology, bringing it all together, my own sort of, it's just me, my sort of focus on this is, what I'm not seeing is presenting to a business audience or a business analyst audience, and here's how you can use all this stuff, because otherwise people will go down one or another rabbit hole depending on what they first come to, but that's just me. But I think in general, it's about bringing those two spaces together and any other spaces that are there, linked data in particular. So in a way, it's the opposite of focus. it's synthesis. So I guess it's what are we trying to synthesize, isn't it? Am I being ambitious here? Okay.
Might it be interesting to take a real ontological approach to schema.org or something?
I would so love to do that. I mean, I just throw my head in every time I look at schema.org. I'm sorry. I'm sure there are people here love it. But...
yeah, schema.org makes my head hurt, but everybody's using it and everybody talks about it.
Yes. And in fact, in FIBO, some of the FIBO folks are approaching schema.org, and I'm like, well, you know, it could go one of two ways. We've got all these abstractions. If they want those, then they'll end up having a better kind of approach to deeper abstractions, which would be great. But the flip side is maybe they don't want those because they have their own strategy, which involves this very bottom-up, reactive, non-abstraction kind of approach, in which case we've got nothing for them, you know.
Well, the other problem with schema.org is the five different ways to do something.
Oh. Yeah.
There's sometimes so vague the semantics and vague, you know, extension disciplines and a limited set of ways to relate things that I've seen people do kind of stupid stuff with schema.org and then duplicate other things.
Right. Yeah, because I keep seeing like very deeply specific concepts that don't seem to have a relation with the more general kinds of concepts you'd expect them to be expressed in terms of. That's a generalization I can't back up, but it's just an instinct. Mm.
I think I remember hearing about somebody who was doing that.
Oh.
It was probably specifically schema.org and OWL or something, but unfortunately I don't remember the reference.
Ah, now there's an interesting question we can get right in the middle of, which is, if you take schema.org and express it in RDFL, that doesn't change the semantics of anything, so it doesn't make it
no.
an ontology. But some people would think it will, but it can cause a lot of trouble and some really useful conversations around that very question.
Well, it depends on how rich you're, if you're OWL, if, no, I'm sorry, you're right.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think you'd want to stop at what schema.org did, and I think you'd actually run into some problems if you took all of schema.org, you'd have the same duplication and idiosyncrasy, so
exactly.
It would kind of be a subset, a nice clean subset, and then an extension. But it wouldn't have to be for standardization purposes, it would be for... What can you do with an ontology over just the schema?
Ah, well, that's a much more tractable problem, is how to create an individual little application-focused ontology that would use concepts in schema.org, and therefore doesn't have to be standardizing on the meanings, and that fleshes out some of the interesting distinctions between, you know, some of the best practices in reasoning applications and what's required in a semantic standard and how... You know, what's good for one isn't wrong for that if it's wrong for the other. Yeah, good.
Yeah, I would never want to go up against the Googles and the Microsofts
no.
and tell them they were wrong.
No, no. But there are things we can demonstrate that will get people thinking about things which they would then own.
I think it was actually DBpedia that somebody was working on rather than on schema.org. So that may be less relevant. I don't offhand recommend anything with... using schema.org.
Yeah. On the other hand,
somebody like Dan Brickley might know something about that in terms of, I mean, it's a much smaller set. So in that sense, it would be the DPDF. So in that sense, it would be, more tractable to work with.
Yeah, and it's going to occur to someone sooner or later.
I'm sure. I mean, I'm surprised it hasn't. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and this is a really good kind of contentious starting point to start a conversation on the blog around at some point. Not our first one, which is just getting people's questions, but maybe a second one or a follow-up is, you know, my whole sort of favourite thing is syntax is not semantics. You know, take something, chuck it in owl. That's not an ontology. It's just whatever it was before in owl. But then what is an ontology? And so it opens the question about semantics. And in fact, there are at least a couple of different schools of thought about how you even treat meaning in any kind of model, be it, you know, owl or something else. So where's the meaning grounded, or does it not need to be grounded, or is it deductive closure that you're depending on? And opens up a really interesting stream of conversations, at least to me. But what you described just now, when applied to DBpedia itself, could be a very useful thing to follow up anyway, because then we have a really clear mechanism for engaging folks like Kingsley and others in the linked data community.
Right. So there may be something there, but if I run across it again, I'll let you guys know.
Yeah.
And you might just do some basic Googling for it as well.
Sure.
I think it's in Europe. I don't think that helps. Might be one of the younger professors that was. I think it was probably one of the younger professors that was doing it.
So let's look into that. Get some conversations going via the blog after our first blog posting as above. Start driving some traffic to the blog. It could get very interesting very quickly, which would be great. That works. And finally, it feels like we're growing into the role that we set ourselves up for as a SIG.
I think that could be a major contribution. I mean, whether this really reaches out to the linked data community specifically. So.
Yeah. Fantastic. Okay, so what else have we got on our agenda? So that came out of talking about the book and the summit. We talked about doing a issue of the Journal of Applied Ontology. Again, we've moved very slowly on that. What is the current? Does anybody have an update on what we were meant to do next, and who holds the action for that? Is it a case of contacting the editors, or is it a case of getting guidelines from them and putting some thoughts together?
Wasn't Leo going to be doing that? Wasn't it his? Didn't he have an action item?
That sounds familiar, yes.
Just. And I can check the.
You can check your filtered list of meetings and click back to N12 and see who.
Let me take a look at what happened last meeting.
Yeah.
Hi, guys. It's Terry. I found the phone number.
Hi.
Am I in the wrong conference? I'm sorry.
It depends. Is this the Onto IOP meeting you were looking for, or the SWAO?
Hey, no, it's the Onto IOP. I'm sorry, I interrupted.
They've moved to something else. I can't remember.
Never mind.
No, apologies. You had a collision of meetings. right. So, meeting 12.
Oh, it doesn't say anyone. It says establish a couple of people to focus on this.
Any volunteers?
So we need guest editors. Yeah, I guess I could.
So the last
meeting,
green light from Nicholas. Themes of the last Ontology Summit timeline. People to focus on it. Guest editors. You say right? Okay. So who will be the guest editors for this group?
I guess I could do that.
I'll volunteer. This is Andrea.
Okay.
I mean, not alone. I'm not volunteering alone.
Oh, we have two volunteers now.
We have two of us.
And you said a couple of people in reaction for last time, so we have our volunteers. Now, this is where I try and remember right and recognize people's voices, which is always embarrassing. That was Ken, wasn't it?
Yeah, just put it down as an item for me. I mean, I can add it to the... I'll add it down here.
Yeah, Ken, when you said something, I thought you were stepping back. I was like, please don't step back.
Well, you'll take the role of the guest editor. Cool. So, fantastic. So, is there anything else that serves you need from the rest of us, of things you want us to be doing or thinking about to help you carry that forward?
I think we have a lot of material right there in the chat room.
Yep.
We put together a call for papers from all of that.
Mm.
Does that sound like a reasonable thing to do?
Yes, it does.
Don't we need to narrow it down a little bit?
Well, yeah, but we need at least ideas, and I think there are plenty of ideas there. And then we can start selecting.
Yeah.
And maybe elsewhere, maybe ideas that come up from the first sort of few weeks of the... we've got a timeline for this. Do we want to give a time for other ideas to mature through the blog? Or, you know, have we been given a kind of timeline for when to aim for?
Are you talking about the blog? Or are you talking about the special issue?
Yeah.
Let's set a goal as having a concrete proposal for the meeting next month.
Hmm. Yep, good.
And we can work on refining it and then submit it.
Yeah, and in fact, you can drive the conversations in the blog to help develop that, as well as any early stuff that comes through the blog, giving you something to chew on between now and the first Monday of December, which is Monday the 1st, as it happens.
The first Monday in December is the 1st.
It is.
December 1st. Which, by the way, is the last item on the agenda.
Indeed. So I think having identified actions and having a minute to run, I think we just nailed it. Is it good with that? There's no public holidays anywhere or things we need to avoid. Okay. Any other business? You got what you need for the guest edition. We've got the actions on that. We've got plenty to do with the blog to get things moving. We start to make some visibility for this group. We've got all our links in place. We've got our next meeting. You know what we're thinking about for the Ontology Summit conversation when it happens. Good. Any last-minute comments from anyone? Well, in that case, I'll take the action to stick this in the meeting notes. I'll just quickly do the who was here thing from the thing. I can't remember how to do that. Get this attendees. There we go. And thank you all very much indeed. Thanks for your hard work and everything. And well, that
who's going to be convener next month? Who will be running the meeting next month?
So it's usually either me or Ellie. So we're not on a rotating. What we normally rotate is the minute taking, but we started with so few of us that I just basically volunteered to do it. But yeah, it'd be nice if Ellie took it on for once. He couldn't make it for this one. But I mean, I'm happy for anybody else to take on the facilitation role, actually. That's always nice. It's not the same as the trustee one where we circulated. This one, basically, the buck stops at myself and Ellie, although Leo usually picks up any slack that there happens to be.
Yeah, if the main topic is going to be the this special issue, then I suppose I should take the lead on that.
Great. And when you say convener, do you want me to still open the call with the special codes, or have you got all that as well? We've got everything, haven't you?
Oh, the next meeting is already in the wiki.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
How did that happen? Wow. Okay.
Although it's just the... just started, and I'll post the I will post the audio recording as usual.
Fantastic, thank you. I have no idea how you do that, but I'm glad you always do.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you. So let's touch base before next month, so that it's clear who's opening the conference bridge and where the handoffs are. And the notice and so on. But otherwise, fantastic. Thank you for taking that on.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so we'll speak to you then.
Okay.
Thanks, everyone. It's been a great meeting. Thanks a lot.
Great meeting. Okay.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, Mike.